my name is Kristen, and I live part of the year in a van. Every day I sleep in here, I have to make the bed so it turns into a bench. Over and over and over, I have to make the bed. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm letting air out of our camping mats, stowing away sleeping bags, getting the van ready for another day. Living in a house is very luxurious compared to this. I hold down a switch, and the back bed area lifts slowly up to form a bench, a spot where I'll work on my computer and cook today. And there we go. Got my living space for the day. That's how it works around here. In this episode, I'll tell you about how I started van life. Yes, it actually started in a Prius. And I'll give you a tour of my Chevy Astrovan camper. Plus, I'll give you 4 tips on how you can start van life yourself.
Welcome to the Wayward Home Podcast, all about van life, boat life, and nomadic living. We'll bring you tips, interviews, and stories from the road and on the water. Now, here's your host, Kristen Haynes.
Hey there, I'm Kristen Haynes with the Wayward Home, and the website is all about tiny living, so van life, RVing, sailboats, and tiny homes. I've been living in a camper van and on a sailboat since 2016, and I want to help you learn how to live tiny too. So I've lived in a van for a while. I first got this Chevy Astro van in 2018, but before that, I lived in a Prius, and that was my start into tiny living, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. So I moved into a Prius with my partner Tom in 2015. I wanted to save money on ridiculous San Francisco Bay Area rents, pay off my debt, and actually get some money in the bank. So I packed up everything, gave tons away, and said goodbye to apartment life. Adjusting to life in the Prius was hard at first. I didn't even know about van life or people living in vehicles at the time, really. And we felt like outsiders. We were camping in campgrounds around the Bay Area, marina parking lots, rest stops, sometimes on the street. And we were always expecting that dreaded knock on the door. So we always felt like we had to be secret agents, is what we said. Very quiet, kept the car very dark, pulled in late, left early. And so it felt weird at first. And I didn't want to tell my work. I worked at a radio station at the time, and it felt like I shouldn't be talking about living in a car. But something funny happened when I lived in the Prius. I really learned that I didn't need stuff. I could live tiny. I could live tiny with Tom. Nature became my living room and my playground. Once I got rid of my apartment, I had more time for backpacking and hiking. So after a few months of living in the Prius, Tom bought his sailboat, which is a CT-41, a Chow Tao catch-rigged boat, and he started working on it. And the boat needed a lot of work. He ended up actually working on it for 5 years before we sailed it down to Mexico. During that time, we slept on off in the Prius, and also that's when I got the Chevy Astro van, which was really a wonderful thing to get at the time. It provided me a place to work and hang out in the Bay Area, a fridge to keep my food. It was really a game changer for us during that time of living in the Bay Area, kind of on the boat and kind of in the van, while he fixed it up and prepared it for ocean cruising. Boiling some water. Inside the van, I'm able to set up my little propane stove to make hot water for coffee. We keep the windows open because we don't want to get carbon monoxide poisoning. And we have a roof vent, and that helps. I live in a van because it's an adventure. It provides me with financial freedom because I don't have to pay rent. It gives me a tiny home with nature as my playground. Of course, I do miss some aspects of home life, the conveniences being the biggest things. A huge fridge, large countertops, a bath. Oh yes, I really miss a good bath. In fact, you might even hear the rain right now dropping on my Astro van while we're boondocking. But the benefits of van life outweigh the cost to me. I love being deep in the Sonoran Desert or high up in the pine forest on Mount Hood. I have a comfortable bed, a small fridge, and a way to cook food. I feel like all my basic needs are met in a van, even though there are hardships too. All right, we're leaving the parking lot. 6:45 a.m., pouring down rain. Not really super fun. But we do this by choice, thank goodness, unlike many people who have to do it out of necessity. And I feel thankful for that every day. So now I want to give you a tour of my Chevy Astro van, a trusty old van I've had for over 3 years now. Come on, let's go see it. All right, so I want to introduce you to my Chevy Astro van. It is white with gray stripes, and it's a conversion van with a fiberglass high-top roof, which adds about a foot of space to the interior, which is really nice. This was a van done by a company called Chevron in 1994 to create kind of a luxury passenger vehicle. So it's kind of a really unique, rare van. It's all-wheel drive. So this van is really interesting because it's trimmed out in this beautiful varnished wood and a gray velvet, which gives it kind of a funny 90s look of being like a party mobile or something. So let's go into the back, which is a large for a minivan, space where we can sit and kind of enjoy ourselves. I'll crawl back here onto the bench seat. It came with shades, which was an amazing thing for me, these roll-down shades. And little slider windows that we can crack to get some nice airflow when we're in here sleeping. Now, one of the things we did put in this van is a rooftop vent. This is a fantastic van, which fits in a 14 by 14 hole, which we had to put in ourselves. And let me just raise the lid. This van allows both pushing air in and blowing air out. And we usually use it on the blowing air out setting because that means it creates a nice airflow as the breeze comes in our side windows. So let's turn it on. Check out the speed of that fan. It really creates some movement in the van, and this has been one of our top essentials that we absolutely need in this van, especially camping during hotter climates. So the way we sleep in this van is kind of funny. We didn't build a full-size bed in here at all. It came with a back bench seat that actually folds flat, and it creates kind of a half bed. So you push a button, and it folds all the way flat. So the bed actually does lie down flat, but it extends about mid-thigh. So for two of us laying next to each other, the bed goes mid-thigh, and we had to figure out a way to extend the bed without actually building out a bed system in this van. So what we did is we found some storage ottomans at TJ Maxx, and here they are. And these storage ottomans actually provide a place for our feet to go and our legs to go at night so we can sleep using them. And they also store all our clothes. So each one of us gets one of these storage ottomans for all of our clothes. So if you can imagine, that's not many clothes. And we keep them stuffed into these packing cubes to create even more room in this van for our clothes. But we've really learned to whittle down the amount of clothes we bring on our adventures. Some of the other clothes are kept on the boat, but this is really a small space, and we've tried to maximize it as much as possible. Another system we put in this van that we can't live without now is a solar setup. So we have 250-watt flexible solar panels on our roof, providing us with a total of 100 watts of energy. And we also have a solar controller and an inverter and two AGM deep cycle batteries, which are actually mounted under the van. Let's go take a look. So over here behind the driver's seat is where Tom put the batteries for the van. He created a bracket under here, which I can look at. It's still holding up in really good condition. So it's a bracket with a G10 skid plate, and both of these AGM batteries are resting on top, and they've done really well, even when we're bouncing around on dirt roads. This kept the center of gravity low for these heavy batteries, and it also made sure we didn't take up precious room inside the van for the batteries. So this system has worked out amazingly for us. So the back hatch is where we keep our bins of food. Let's take a look. Yep, there's all our food. And this is also where we have our 12-volt refrigerator, which has been another game changer for us with living the van life. This is plugged into our solar system, and we use it to keep all our food and drinks cold. We don't have to worry about getting ice, and this has been just amazing. I've absolutely loved that fridge, and it's totally changed my life with living in a van. So I'm going to tell you the story about how I got this Chevy Astro van. I had been kind of fixated on Chevy Astros for a while because they were small, they were affordable, and it's something two people could sleep in, and I could store enough stuff in, like my clothes, my food for the day in the fridge, our basic camping gear, that sort of thing. And I knew I wanted a van that I could afford with cash. That was really important to me at the time. So I started looking at Chevy Astros, and that's when I learned about Chevy Astro conversion vans. So I started browsing Craigslist everywhere for this exact style of van. I had alerts set up on multiple cities all across the West Coast into Arizona, Colorado. Every day I would look at those Craigslist listings kind of obsessively. One day I saw this van posted on Sacramento Craigslist. Sacramento, only an hour and a half from where I lived. The van was listed for $5,000, 57,000 miles. It had been garaged its entire life, and it was in impeccable condition. I was immediately in love with this van. So I emailed the owner right away and asked him for the van, and he said, it's already sold. And I was devastated. You know, I knew this was the perfect van for me. So I called Tom, who was on a road trip to Minnesota, and said, the van's been sold. I'd already sent him a listing of the van and he loved it. And he said, Kristen, just write back and offer more money. I wanted the van so bad that I wrote back and said, I'll give you $6,000 for it. And the guy wrote back immediately and said, come take a look at it and I'll hold it for you. You've promised $6,000 and when can you get here? And so I went there as soon as I could. I drove my little red sedan out there and I loved the van. It was in immaculate condition. You know, the fabric was good, the carpeting was good, everything inside it looked perfect and it had such low mileage. I mean, who could refuse this van? And I purchased the van and it was mine. And that was such a happy day for me and I couldn't believe how much I lucked out. And after I bought the van, that guy actually told me, you know, I've been getting phone calls and emails with people offering $12,000 for this van, but I told you I would sell it to you. And so here it is. And so I got this van for $6,000. And I think the guy learned his lesson that this is actually a van that's kind of a cult classic and sought after. And he probably wished he had sold it for more. But lucky me, I've really been enjoying it. And it's only had a few problems in its 25-year life. And so I've been really thankful for this Chevy Astro van. Well, I hope you enjoyed that tour of my Chevy Astro van. Next, I want to give you a few tips if you're starting to think about living the van life yourself. Tip number one is buy a van you can afford. I'm a huge proponent of not going into debt for anything. I think being debt-free is very liberating, and it's the only way you're going to get true freedom, I believe. So if you are thinking about van life, please do not go into debt. Buy a van that you can afford. That is why I bought the Chevy Astro van, and it was only $6,000, as I told you. Very cheap. I could pay cash with it, and I knew I owned that van. And we barely made any modifications to it, really. I mean, we added that rooftop vent, the solar system. That's about it. We did not build it out in any sort of fancy way. We just, you know, bought the van and started camping in it. So don't think you have to get a really fancy van like a Sprinter or a Ford Transit or anything like that that you need to even build it. Just go out and start camping. That's my biggest advice. And just get that van you can afford. And so my next big tip about starting to live the van life is to prepare to have some transitional feelings. I know when I started living in a vehicle, which was the Toyota Prius, I often felt kind of homeless. Even though I knew I was doing this on purpose, it was intentional, it was still hard to get used to. I kept my clothes in the back of a different car, which was my red sedan at the time. So every time I wanted to get an outfit, I had to dig around in my trunk. I felt very conspicuous. I, you know, often longed for a shower, you know, a real bed, a kitchen. So I had a lot of those transitional feelings where it was hard at first. And I think it's okay that it's hard. And I think also you should be prepared to feel a little bit awkward and weird and alone. And that's okay. And know that those things will pass and just keep trying it out. So that's my second tip, is just know that it won't be super peachy and easy at first. It might feel a little weird and that's totally fine. And the third tip I have is, before you start sleeping in that van full time, is to plan out places you can sleep. Maybe you're living in a van in a city. So then you'll have to find out, are there any rest stops nearby? Are there any campgrounds? What places could I do stealth camping? Are there any neighborhoods I could park in, or industrial areas? So scope out where you're going to park and sleep so you have a plan for when you start living in your vehicle. And if you're not in a city, if you're traveling, which is a way better way to live van life, if you ask me, is, you know, figure out where you're going to go boondocking, learn about boondocking or free camping, or figure out campgrounds you like, plan a route. I think if you have a plan in place, it'll make that transition a lot less jarring. And another tip I wanted to give you is figure out a way to stay connected. Something I hear a lot about people who are starting the van life, especially alone, is they feel a sense of loneliness. And there are ways to connect with other people. One of those is the group called The Escapees, or The Escapers, where you pay a membership fee that's yearly. And then you can connect with a lot of other people living this lifestyle. You can go to rallies and events, and it's just a good way to meet others that are like-minded. So you can do that. You can also just join various Facebook groups. I have one. The Wayward Home has a Facebook group where you can pop on there and talk to other people about what you're going through or any struggles you're having. So I think that Facebook is a really good place to go for that sense of community, or even Instagram. I know when I was living in the car in 2015, it was not really known to me that other people were
were doing this and that there was a place I could go and commiserate and meet people. But I've heard of a lot of van lifers that actually do meet others through Instagram or Facebook, and then they meet up and they travel together, which is really cool. So I think it is important to stay connected and to find that social outlet, because we are social beings and it is hard when you're traveling alone and you're by yourself all the time. So that is my last piece of advice. In this podcast, I hope to give you some real world stories about what van life is really like, bring you interviews from nomads on everything from remote work to downsizing to foraging to just personal stories and experiences. Right now it is pouring down rain and I'm trying to figure out if I can live in this van in this pouring down rain or if I need to drive 5 hours south to get out of the rain. And this is kind of what van life is about. You have to be very flexible, changeable, willing to uproot your life and do something different if the weather isn't right. I'll also talk to you more about stealth camping and boondocking. Last night while boondocking, we had wind gusts up to 70 miles an hour, and wind was just screaming around the van, rocking it back and forth. I'm glad you're here along for the ride, and I hope you enjoy the Wayward Home podcast. On the next episode, we'll talk all about remote work with full-time RVer and remote work coach Camille Attell. Camille has been living full-time on the road for many years now and has some great tips and advice. I know making money remotely prevents a lot of you from going full-time. See you on the next episode of the Wayward Home Podcast.